It's hard to see yourself represented on the silver screen. In a world with less available roles to us, this industry can be so mean. So we're gonna make some changes in this town. Turn the male-driven media upside down. There's nothing that a woman can't do, so act like a girl, we're here to support you.
Welcome to the Act Like a Girl podcast, everyone. You have Susie Dunn.
And Tracy Walker.
And we are here with
Michelle Murdoch.
Yay. Welcome, Michelle.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. We're so excited.
So excited to have you.
Thank you.
Tracy has been talking about having you on for like, because I went out of town, so for like a while.
Okay. She left the country.
Yeah.
Oh, where did you go?
I went to Australia and Japan.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm.
By herself. And she didn't know the language and everything. Adventurous, huh? That's what I said. Yeah. Okay. Living.
Kind of. No, I stayed. My stepsister is in Australia, so I stayed with her. She was living in like a share house, which is basically like a apartment, but you're like assigned the rooms, and then you share like the living room space in the kitchen, and you don't necessarily know everybody that you're living with. And it had a pool and a grill, and it was amazing. And we went skydiving, and we went to the Great Barrier Reef.
I saw your video, skydiving.
Yeah, it was so amazing. I highly recommend it. And then I went to Japan alone, but I stayed in a capsule hotel, which is like those little tiny.
Yeah, little bitty, like tiny.
Bunk beds.
Yeah, bunk beds. Yeah. How much were they? Real cheap?
It was so cheap because the exchange rate, the dollar is very strong there right now. So it was like $40 a night. And it was clean, and it had, like, baths, you know, like, Japanese-style baths, like, one big one, and then two, like, individual ones, and then it had, like, the sitting showers, and it was, like, really nice. I got home at 1 in the morning most nights, and I just, like, went straight to the bath, took a bath. It was amazing. Because it's such a, Tokyo is such a, like, it's like New York City. You know what I mean? It's, like, stressful.
What? It's stressful?
Yeah.
Oh.
But it's amazing. Mm-hmm. But it's a big city.
And then when you
like
came back, she remembered that I said, Michelle. She's like,
yeah. Yeah.
So I was telling her that, you know, you are a force in comedy in L.A.
Yes.
As far as stand-up. She goes back with a lot of comedians. You know, her room is like the comedy store. It's at the comedy store, but it's the comedy room to go to when you want to see up-and-coming black comics.
That's amazing.
Yeah, some new, some old. So I'm returning, like Leslie Jones just returned this Thursday for 2 nights. It was amazing. She was so
That's
raw.
That's so cool.
It was amazing. And she go way back. So I'm just going to throw the ball to her and let her start.
Yeah, yeah. Tell us what you do.
Well, pretty much I work with comedians. Mm-hmm. And I showcase up-and-coming comedians, as we also call them rising comedy stars. So I really love developing talent and watching you guys grow and just hearing, you know, some fresh new material. Mm-hmm. And so with Crack 'Em Up Comedy at the Comedy Store, we've been there since 2003, and which means October we'll be celebrating 14 years. And just to have, like, a lot of comedians come through, like, before they became stars, and to have the stars, like, pop in because they're, you know, downstairs in the OR or mm-hmm. on the main stage, or sometimes you know, booked with us, you know, just like we were saying with Leslie. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's just been great to be able to be around that fresh, raw talent, because it just really, it motivates you as a producer.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and as a booker, and, you know, with casting and all of that, it's like you're always looking for that fresh face.
Yeah,
you know,
totally.
That's exciting, yeah.
You know, that next big thing. And it's like, I love it when people are like, okay, I don't get it anymore, where people are like, who are these people on the flyer? Now people know, they just come.
Yeah,
right. And the comics are going to deliver.
Yeah. Right.
And, you know, whether it's in the belly room or anywhere else, just, you know,
yeah,
that's, I love that. Together. That's so great.
Yeah, but really, you know, like I said, just working with talent, and so I'm a producer with that. My background is television and film production, and I write, so I'm a writer, and have some hidden talents too. Maybe I'll tell those later.
I'm sure.
We'll
I'm
get sure. them. We'll pull them out of you. Okay, so where are you from?
I'm from Cleveland Heights, Ohio.
So she's a big LeBron fan.
Yes,
she
oh
gets
my God.
Emotional.
LeBron is bad. Fuck with me. Yeah, I swear
LeBron
to God.
Is
that's how I was with the Falcons and Super Bowl. I said I don't even want to talk about it.
Yeah.
I believe what my brother said. That's the bottom line. It's rigged. He ain't watching it no more. He's like, this was, I could have watched the WWF watching this right here. I know what I just saw. He is a sports fanatic. I know that's right.
Well, that's why I actually prefer college basketball personally.
He does too.
Oh, yeah. Because I feel like the NBA, it's like too. All just like tricks.
Yeah. He said
like
it
how
too. He
high
said,
can
like
you
he
jump?
He really
how far can you jump?
Yeah. Yeah. But the NFL, though, he was turned off when the Falcons lost that Super Bowl. He's like, that shit was.
Oh, yeah. The Super Bowl last year.
Yeah, no, that shit was bold.
Yes. That's like, see, I know. I fell asleep and woke up. And
well, I also have a hard time. I have a hard time supporting any of those organizations just because of, like,
I had to wake
all
up.
The bullshit.
I'm up with that bullshit now. It's
there's so
bullshit.
Much bullshit.
It sure is.
Well, revolving
I'm from Cleveland,
around it.
So I don't care whether they win or lose. I'm still a fan till
that's
I die.
Beautiful.
Okay, because the Browns
beautiful.
Suck. They always yeah. suck. It's like.
Listen, I love the Lions, so.
Oh, my God. Are
it's
you from
tragic. Detroit? I'm from Battle Creek.
Okay, but Michigan?
Yeah.
Okay, so the Midwest.
Yes.
So, okay.
And I love Ohio.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate it, but I love it.
I know. In the same way, I just said it about Detroit. I was like, you know, I'm not going to say it, but.
You can say it. It's fine.
I was like, fuck Detroit.
I understand.
Okay? But I still have love for Michigan. My sisters are there.
Oh, cool.
They went to a University of Michigan and Eastern Michigan.
I'm a huge University of Michigan fan.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's so awesome.
Yeah. She has some rings. She's got Aunt Erica G. Murdoch.
Wow.
She got Big Ten rings.
That's hell yes. You that's know. So hot.
I love their bodies. I love yeah. track female track runners.
Oh, wait, I mean, just, they're just
I
amazing.
I love to watch their races. And it's just still, it's like,
amazing.
I want to run.
Did you know?
They motivate me to run every time because it's the best workout for your whole body.
It really is.
Did you know that Wonder Woman hired real female athletes to play the
that's great.
The Amazonian great. Women? And a lot of them were like track star, and they're mm-hmm. they're wow. amazing. It's
wow.
You guys should go see the movie. It's
awesome.
Yeah,
I saw it.
Yeah,
it was, yes,
yeah we should go
amazing.
See it.
Yeah, let's go see it.
We should go see it when let's it's at the Landmark, and they have because they have that. Have you guys ever been to the Landmark, the small theater that's upstairs?
No,
it's like couches.
Cute. Wow,
and it's just like a projector. It's so fun,
okay.
And like usually
is
it's
in the
dead. It's like between here and Santa Monica, on.
Okay.
I can't remember what. It's right by the burger place. Anyway, yeah, we should all go. That would be so
fun.
Okay, okay so
movie.
You're from Ohio.
So I'm from Cleveland Heights, Ohio, and I left there when I was 18 to go to college in Atlanta. So
you went to
Clark Atlanta.
Yeah,
Clark Atlanta University, a historically black college.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there and had a great time, you
yeah.
know, just
it's the best. It's,
yeah, it was
it's like
Atlanta.
So many upwardly mobile black mm-hmm. people at one point with all this, you know, hope and future and good looks. I was like, I went crazy because I stay in Atlanta and it's called the AU Center. It's like all like 3-4 black colleges,
yeah.
Eight Clark, Spelman,
well,
Morehouse.
It used to be four. Well,
Clark,
five,
Spelman, Morehouse, Mars Brown, four.
And then
where did
Morehouse.
You go again?
I went to Georgia State University,
that's right.
State College. But I used to stay on their campus. The AU Center, because
mm-hmm.
that's why all the, like Bill Cosby kids would come there,
mm-hmm.
like all the actors and you know it was like, yeah.
What did you say?
Yeah, Bill Cosby. All the kids used to come. Like the.
Did you hear
kids.
What he's gonna do?
What?
I'm sorry, but I have to say this.
I ain't even
he's gonna go on tour and he's gonna talk about. How to not get convicted for rape.
He did just like OJ did. Then his ass going to end up in jail anyway, some kind of way. It's stupid. Sit your ass down.
It is so hard to deal with. It's so hard to deal with. Anyway.
But yeah, so in Atlanta, and my major was television and, you know, a bachelor. I graduated with a bachelor's radio, TV, film production. So.
Have you watched Dear White People?
No.
I would love for you to watch it, and I would
okay.
love for your opinion on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you watched it?
I'll
yes.
check it out.
Yes, yeah.
Did you like it?
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
I'll check it out.
I got mad at the black girl when she ended up dating the white guy, though. I just don't.
It's
like,
so hard. It makes
like,
me so.
Hold on. Yeah, wait, hold on.
I want to. And also, like, Reggie is bae.
The ex-boyfriend, the black one? I think he's cute.
The one, the guy who's like the activist.
Oh, the one that likes her?
Yeah.
I like the one, the other one, the other one. No, you know, like the one that likes her. She don't like that. She be cussing out all the time. His daddy's chancellor.
Yes,
like,
yeah. He's too pretty for me. Yeah. He's too pretty for me.
I know I don't like cute guys, but he looks a little manly. Act a little manly or something.
No, I mean, he's sexy, but I just like, no. Anyway, okay, so sorry, we're getting off track.
Yeah. That's what we do.
Okay, so after Atlanta, then I moved to D.C.,
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I lived in Washington, D.C. because I had family there, and I wasn't sure what I wanted to do after Clark.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I knew I didn't want to go back to Ohio.
Right.
Because, you know, I was still, you know, it's time to go. Keep going. Yeah.
Right, so right, right.
I thought I wanted to move to New York, so I was like, okay, I'll go to D.C. and
make money.
Yeah, and go there and eventually just
make money.
This miraculous thing. Someone would give me a job and I would move there and all this stuff. And so I did go for a job interview in New York, and I just couldn't do it. I mean, I can't do the subway. I can't just, it's too cold. I was like, this isn't going to work. So so an opportunity came up when I was in D.C. And it was like a production coordinator for this production company. And so like an independent one. So I was like, okay, let me, you know.
I love doing production coordination.
Yeah, yeah, it was. And I actually, so I went for the, because I was working in post-production, doing like client services or something. Again, you know, just still being around in the business. And so,
right.
So I had this interview with this guy, and his first name is John. I can't remember his last name, but I will always be grateful for his advice. But I went in for the interview, and like 2 minutes into the interview, he just stopped and was like, I can't do this. And I was like, oh shit, like thinking I just fucked up, you know? And I said, like, well, why are you here? And I said, well, what do you mean? He said, why are you in my office? I said, well, because the job. He said, well, I know why you're here for that. He said, but why are you here in D.C.? He was like, you're a creative person. You need to go west. And I was just like, but I don't have a job. He said, just go.
Yeah.
He said,
wow.
And I was
yeah,
like,
that's life.
And he was like, you'll be fine. And I was like, but, and he said, look, and I'll never forget this. He said, it's too many stupid people in L.A. making a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. He said, it's so true.
Yeah. He said, so you'll be fine. I was like, okay.
It's so true, though.
They make a lot of money.
That's what motivated me, too. I'm like, nah.
Yeah, because,
come on now.
You know, just, yeah. And so I was just like, okay. And then I told my mother, I'm leaving. And she was like, when? And I was like, 30 days. And so I moved out here. And
That's
then I
amazing.
Got a job at MTV, like, 2 weeks later.
Wow.
Actually, a week later. And I started 2 weeks, you know, after being here. Mm-hmm. And so.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so it was, you know, so. And I moved out here because I was only in D.C. for 2 years. I hated it.
Yeah.
It was just like, it wasn't for me.
No. I like to visit D.C. Like, I love visiting D.C., but it's, I can't imagine living there.
And like you said, you know, it wasn't, if you are into politics, of course, that's the spot.
Yes.
Yeah, but if
yes.
I'm an entertainer.
If you want to do, like, reporting.
Yeah. Right.
And if you want to work for, like, a news network,
right.
then
and I
yes.
I thought I did. I thought that I did want to work in the news because I did have a chance to do, when I was at Clark, they had the, with the 1996 Olympics, I had a chance to work that. I
oh,
was
that's
like
so
a,
cool.
Yeah, I was a liaison officer for the field hockey event for, yeah, the field hockey event. And that was cool because our college, Clark, like, was the host broadcast training program for students across the country to be able to come to and work on this, like, really high-grade equipment, you know, like, the best technology yet because it was for the Olympics. So this was, like, you know, at that period, you know, this was like in the late 90s and stuff, you know, because it was the 96 Olympics. And so we were working with, you know, state-of-the-art equipment with, you know, we were training with, so it was cool.
That's
you know,
so cool.
But, and so I did kind of think I was leaning into the news, but then, like I said, I was working at a post house and just had access to, it was like Showtime Networks and Discovery Channel, National Geographic, stuff like that that were based in that area, that the Learning Channel or TLC, something like that. But Anyway, so then, like I said, I moved out here and started working with TV production, and then I got into comedy because I started working at Comic View at BET. And
cool.
Mm-hmm. And I befriended a lot of the comedians, and they encouraged me, you know, to start my own room. They said, we need more rooms. And I was like, but I've never done it before. They're like, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
So
that's a pattern in your life. Yeah. You'll be fine.
Yeah, I know.
You hear that, you know what's happening.
Okay. You know, I was like, all right, fuck it. And yeah. So I, you know, did my research, and I knew that I wanted to be in a room, in a location where the industry was going to come, because yeah. I'm in the industry. Yeah. So,
right.
You know, it's like, I had to take this seriously. So I did my research and looked up the top three, and this was like in 2003. And so it was like, I think it was the Laugh Factory, the Improv, and the Comedy Store. So I was like, well, shit, it has to be one of those three. So the first two weren't an option. And I've been, you know, the first comic I saw at the Comedy Store was Paul Mooney. And I was invited by one of his sons. And, you know, I had a chance to see him. And then just at that time at the Comedy Store, it was still like that time when a lot of the men working the door had been there for years and had stories to tell. And so it was like that whole mystique, that whole Hollywood, mm-hmm. You tell me this story. And it was like, it was fucking exciting because these people were like really with these people that you see on the pictures. Mm-hmm. And right. So I reached out to the Comedy Store, and it was a lady. And I spoke to a manager, and, you know, I told her what I wanted to do, and she said, okay. And she gave me, like, the first 3 months, like, you know, just once a month, and then it went well, and started doing it every week since. So, and
that's
then
amazing.
Here we are.
For 14 years.
Rag 'em up. Yep, almost.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
And do you have other jobs right now besides that?
Pretty much. Well, Crack 'em Up Comedy is my business, so I'm the founder of it. And so that's showcasing comedians. And so I do some management, I do booking, and like I said, as a writer, you know, have some stuff that is in the works, just finished working on or actually editing a book.
Oh, that's so cool.
So, yeah, 300-page book. So, wow.
What is it about?
I can't say yet.
Okay.
Because being that, like I said, I edited it. It's he's not really ready to put it out too much, mm-hmm. but it's a really good story. It's a coming of age story, and it's somewhat of a, like, it's loosely based on his life, because, you know, you always have to throw in just a little something
extra. Of
course,
extra. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And so this is a friend of mine who is not a writer in a sense, but now he is a writer.
Right.
You know, because, like I was saying before, it's yeah. like you know, that he's a writer, but he's just starting. So it was, with him, it was, hey, I've got this idea. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I said, well, you've got to put it on paper, because I don't have time to write, because if I do that, then I might as well write my own shit.
Right,
you know, it's
right.
like, and so I guess it was about 2 years, you know, and he had been, you know, just writing it, because I was telling him, I said, you're the only one that could really tell your story like that. And then he came to me during a period where I was on the whole, you know, say yes to everything for a year kick. And it worked for me.
That's
I did a
amazing.
Lot of crazy shit.
That's
you
so
know.
Cool.
Yeah. And so he asked me during that period, and I was just like, okay. Because before I was like, oh, I've got my own stuff to do. I don't have time. I can't do it.
Right.
And then he asked me, and I said, okay. Because he was like, look, I have to pay somebody. And you write, and you can do this, so can you do it? And I was like, sure.
You always can figure it out.
You can figure mm-hmm. it
you
out.
You can always figure it
Come
out.
On, you'll be fine.
Especially for your art
yeah.
and for your, yeah. like, mm-hmm. money. You know what it, like, you, if you are an artist who's trying to at least somewhat supplement their life off of their art, you will figure out you'll how figure out. To do that job, you know?
And it is, you know, and it's copy editing. Mm-hmm. And that's something that, you know, as a writer, that you don't really realize how valuable that is. Because, like I said, you know, not to take anything away from you know, my partner, the author, it's just that this was a first for him, you know? Mm-hmm. So imagine the first script that you wrote,
yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, but this was his first book. So, you know, me having the experience, and that's also where, you know, it helps that, you know, from college, you know, you take those courses and it's like, okay, I remember some stuff. And then, you know, like you said, you figure it out. And then, but it, a year later, it took a year and, you know, we just finished it. I just finished it about maybe 3 weeks ago. So, you know, like I said, 300 pages.
Yeah.
And it's a coming-of-age story that also includes life skill lessons that he wanted to add. So it's a nice story. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, you know, but just really, you know, working within, you know, the other stuff that I'm doing is pretty much just really doing the best to grow my brand,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm,
and get it out there with, whether it's, you know, creating content, producing
content. What would you say your brand is?
Well, Crack 'Em Up Comedy. Mm-hmm. It's, Crack 'Em Up Comedy is like really, again, you know, showcasing those best rising comedy stars and, you know, being that go-to person for like, this is who's hot, this is who's coming up. And we've had so many people come through the room over the years, and they still come back. Like you were saying with Leslie, Leslie Jones, she used to host, mm-hmm, and Deion Cole was there not too long ago from Black-ish, and then you have Justin Hires,
who's always there.
Yeah, free, always there. Mm-hmm. Tony Baker, mm-hmm, DC Irvin, and James Davis, who, you know, has his show. Aaron, I think it just started on Comedy Central.
Yeah, I think it did. Yeah.
Jason.
Well, there, yeah, my friend, it's actually funny, my friend Gia is a producer on that show. She's a field producer for the show. So she gets all the, like, guests. So they're basically like, we need you to find this person and get them for us, like, whatever kind of person it is. Mm. I can't really say what because, you know.
Yeah.
It hasn't come out yet. But yeah, that show is like, I think they're still in post-production, but it's coming out soon, maybe.
Yeah. And so that, so just having, you know, like all of them, you know, everyone come through. London Brown, who is on Ballers, and I just got a call today that Dominique, who was just on, she was on Last Comic Standing a few years ago. She's going to pop in. Yeah.
That's so cool.
Thursday. Yeah. So
that's great.
And that's, you know, again, just partnering up with a, you know, comedy store to realize that, I guess, you know, when you do have a show within someone's venue, you are partnering with them.
Right. You are,
so,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's like that's been
14 years. That's a long.
Yeah, and that definitely has helped the brand.
Relationship.
Of
yeah.
course, because you build your small brand under a big one. Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, it helped to get,
I love, and
Crackle.
It makes people be interested, like when you can set, you know, whenever we tell people that our show's at Nerdist or Nerd Melt, it's always like,
it's
you know.
Then they want to come, that's a happening place, it's been on TV,
And I don't feel bad making people pay $10 for a ticket for
you
that,
no,
you know, like,
work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You've worked, that's work, it takes work, it takes work.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm just telling AB how to get
so in. So, my question, Michelle, is, what do you think your staying power is? I mean, like,
yeah, how did you last for 14 years?
You know,
that's,
I did an
so
open
impressive.
Mic, and I'm a comedian, and only for 6 months in Atlanta, where I'm from, and 6 months out here. After that, I was like, fuck y'all, comedians, babysit y'all. Y'all, you know what I'm saying? I ain't got time.
Yeah.
This be part-time job, and I'm not getting paid, and y'all tripping. You know what I mean? It's like,
I think it's because.
So for you to last 14 years, and you with egos. You got egos of men, black men. They come in there.
To strangle so many.
I mean, all of them. Like, all of them. You deal with Kevin from Kevin Hart to Cat Williams, and all of them come to your room. You dealt with all of them at one point in time. So what's your staying power?
Because
I know you didn't got cussed out before. You had to.
Oh, God. And
you
I
had
cussed
to.
Out many, yeah. Yeah, right back at you.
That's a really good question.
Cuss me out, fuck you, okay? Fuck you. Seriously.
It's your time to tell them.
Ooh, because I have respect for y'all. Still, I will not mention your names on air or on paper, but
it
you
was
know
Cheryl Underwood
you are.
Did. Tasha got on the View. She was like, and they was on the three-way phone talking about me. Remember Cheryl Underwood talking about the other female comedians?
Oh, boy.
About her, and she happened to be on the line and heard how they was talking about her. Because she said it the time she got up on that show. She ratted them out. They was like, dang, that happened like 4 years ago. Well,
I wonder what it's going to be like if I ever get, when I get chewed out. I'm sure I will.
Well, I'm going to tell on.
Oh, you know what? You should, it's fine.
It's going to be so interesting.
Yeah, because you can just say, after that, you can say whatever the fuck you want to say to somebody. Yep. After they try to cuss you out, it's like, oh really? It's like, okay. Or you just, sometimes, just, I mean, just.
It's the best advice.
It's the best advice. Yeah, right. But, you know, so it depends. It depends because. Sometimes, I mean, really, you can't argue with crazy. Yeah. And sometimes if it gets to that point, that person has lost it.
Right.
And it makes no sense to lose it with them.
Right.
It's like, take it, just go, you're mine, you're out of here, fuck you.
Yeah.
And that the ones that did that to me, they looked stupid. So it's like, and they know who they are, you know, because it wasn't that many, you know, it's like, it's a couple. One name starts with a K and the other one a D. Mm. Uh-huh.
Mm-mm. We got some clues. Okay. We got some clues.
A K so, and a D.
So what have you sacrificed for this kind of career, being a comedy, following comedians, keeping up with the up and coming, giving them venues to perform in? Because you don't
this one.
You used to do one in another state.
And yeah, that's like having a baby.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Having a
yeah.
show a that's, because it's every week, right?
Every fucking week.
Can you imagine?
Every
we do a show every other month, yeah. And
we do our live show like,
and it's so much work still. I cannot fucking imagine. I mean, we put the podcast up every week, but that's just a podcast.
Yeah,
that's not, you know.
Sit like this and stuff.
Well,
yeah.
like when you were asking, like, what is the before, like the staying power? What
yeah.
is just
yeah,
being flexible
yeah.
and being willing to change?
So what made you not get pissed off? Like, because you are around these big egos, you get cussed out, you get treated this way, you know.
Well, it's not too much. I don't want people to think I'm always getting cussed out.
No, I like that. It's just that because I know it's exciting.
But in the
career,
past,
it's
yeah.
exciting career. I mean, you're
this
good
reminds
at it. You
me
got
of
staying power. So I'm just like, what is it that make you? Because not a lot of female, black female producers doing.
Because
what you
I know
do.
Why I'm doing it, and it's
that's
it's
what I'm saying. Why?
Yeah.
Why?
And because
that's what I'm not wondering. Why?
Because the goal has always been to. You know, again, my background is TV production.
Right.
So the ultimate goal is to produce and direct, it used to be direct, mm-hmm. but to write and produce TV and film.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so with Crack 'Em Up Comedy, like you were asking me, what is it? It's like I've, you know, the goal was to also build a stable of talent
yeah.
for my projects.
Yeah.
And so it's like now is the time for me to, like, get the shit together because I've met – so many of you, you know, over all these years that, and, you know, from just a variety of very diverse, mm-hmm. you know, Rolodex of comedians, and I'm happy about that. But, just, you know, having that stable is, I forgot what you were going to ask me.
Oh, you already answered it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, how you had staying power.
You answered it.
And that's
times.
And just keeping it fresh
really,
because
that's what you
I
like,
remember
like
when
the freshness,
yeah.
like
the freshness.
Coaches, like a coach,
yeah.
he loves to see that fresh crop. Think about it. You know
you
what I'm
do.
Saying? He get to mold them, and you know, and see them coming to the player yeah. that they're going to be and stuff. So
because I remember
I
when,
you
know, like Justin Hires from Rush Hour when he
mm-hmm.
said it. You know, in his joke about how when he first started, he was, you know.
Not funny.
And, you know, because his background was acting.
Yeah.
You know, he was in Stump the Yard.
Yeah.
And Drumline.
I think
it was Stump the Yard.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so he was doing it, you know, kind of different,
right.
you know, in that sense of going from acting to stand up. And so he's always been very animated. And. Some people aren't really comfortable with that. You know, some people
yeah.
just want to sit there and watch you guys just, you know, do your thing when you start doing there. But, you know, Justin was all over the place. And so we had to figure it out. And just to see where he, you know, from there to, like, now, it's, like, so proud.
Yeah.
But I also, like I said, when I first started, a lot of people would be like, oh, who are these people on the flyer? I've never seen these people. And all this. And I'm like, don't worry about it. Just come.
Right.
And... then it's like to see people that, like, I know they've never seen some of the people that are there, you know, some of the comedians. Right. And just to see, just to be able to sit back and watch people's reaction, it's like, because I know they're not expecting it. Right. And just seeing people, like,
I love that so
spit
much.
Their water out, yeah. You know, or their beer out.
Yeah.
Or just have to get up and I walk away, so like, much. You know.
So you just, you enjoy the whole atmosphere of comedy. The whole, you, like, yeah. Deep in. I know that.
Yeah.
You, like, love.
Because as a producer, I mean, you see everything.
To stay, yeah. You know, because you keep dealing with the same egos. You know, you got to love it.
And the egos, and again, it's it also comes from my background being TV production.
Oh, yeah.
Because
you had practice.
You know, I've been, right. So it's like.
I've been dealing with this forever.
Yeah, so it's like I've been out here since 2000. And so I've been working in the industry for 17 years. And then, like I said, when I was in D.C., you know, working at the Post House, that's when I was working more so with the producers and, you know, the Post people, the colorists, the graphics, all that stuff. And so, you know, because when you come up in this industry, it's like you really want to, my advice is to position yourself in a way where you can learn. And, you know, those opportunities were great because, I mean, I understand post-production and the whole process, you know, mm-hmm. from doing that from D.C., but I hated it and I had to get out of there. So when I had learned enough, you know, came out here, but yeah, so I think that, well, I know that that really also helped because as a producer, that's the main thing is that I'm a producer first. And so I'm producing comedians. So as a producer, you've got to keep your hat on, you know, and you got to keep it straight.
Right.
Cause I've seen some producers come in and just fuck up everything. And it's like, because, you know, they're shitty and I've, you know, had an attitude at times, of course. I mean, I'm human. I'm dealing with all these people, right, you know? Right. And so, but, you know, you just keep it. It's something, hey, and also red wine helps. That's my drink. So
I love that.
You know, that you need something,
you
whatever
it
is.
You gotta give it
to I do. I love comedy. Yeah. I mean, I knew I love comedy.
In the industry. Yeah. Do you all those people that really just have a heart for it? You know what I mean? Not try to profit off of it.
Do you also have, because, like, this is something that Tracy and I are, like, figuring out right now as we go. Because, you know, the podcast has been up for about 10 months at this point, and we're, like, slowly, you know, figuring everything out. But do you have, like, people that aren't right for your show that you have to turn down?
Yes.
And how do you deal with that?
For your brand. Yeah. She's big on that. Yeah. She's big on her brand.
Yeah. Because, like, when I first started, I'm trying to figure it out.
Right.
And
I think
even though I've been there for that long, it's like, you know, the past couple of years is where it really figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
And really, like, you know, because you got to, when you're doing a show, it's like it's knobs on it and you got to keep tuning it.
Mm-hmm.
Like we were saying, to be able to stay for that amount of time. And so, what did you ask me?
How do you turn people down that aren't right for your show? And how do you, like, separate yourself away from things that don't fit?
You know, okay, so. So, like, I had someone, what I was saying before was that, you know, just over the years, just doing the show, and now I get it because I understand my brand.
Right.
So I know what type
right.
of comedians I'm looking for mm-hmm. now, mm-hmm. and now it's turned into more than just a show because, you know, people are getting deals in there,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, shit is going down.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's like, you know, so...
And you all
I can't have
it.
You get on my
and
stage
and
fuck
it up. Yeah.
Because you're fucking it up
for everyone.
For somebody that's going before you or after you. And, well, not before you, but you know what I'm saying.
No,
but
right.
You're just fucking up the vibe in the room.
Right.
And, you know, so I'm being.
And
more
you're also
aware
wasting people's time.
You're wasting people's time. Because I have comedians that are, like, really serious, and then some that come in from out of town that may pop in and. I do my best to show them love because, you know, they're popping in. But, you know, I am booking, you know, in advance. And, so if it's someone that I'm always open and then I just kind of watch them and I just tell them. And you know, for me, Facebook, I always ask comedians to connect with me on Facebook because it's easier because, you know, text messages, those get lost.
Right.
Get lost. But, you know, the Facebook, you're able to keep up with the thread, and because I'm dealing with so many comedians, mm-hmm. it's like, because I don't have an assistant, mm-hmm. you know, right now. You know, that's
like, I need an assistant. I can't imagine you, like, yeah. you really need an assistant.
But see, with Facebook, it's helped because, right. you know, you can keep up with, like, I can say, oh, yep. shit, when did I book this person? And yep. then I can yep. see it. And then I right. can also, you know, we can, you can send me your guest list on there. I can send you the flyer. You can send me your photo.
Right.
Your clip. So we can do all of that. I don't mm-hmm. have necessarily time to go to the, it's just easier yeah. at yeah. the moment. Yeah. But yeah. I know that's going to change.
Right.
You know, but so, yeah, so it's one of those things where I see a comedian and then if I don't think that they are, because I just, it's impossible to respond to everyone.
Of course.
And so the ones that I do have spots for, I do respond to, but the ones that I don't hear from, it's not that, and I don't want them, if they hear this, it's like, I don't want them to think that I'm ignoring them, you know, but sometimes what we're doing is we're watching you to see your growth. And mm-hmm. to see what you're doing, because
I agree with that.
You know,
completely.
When you're asking to do my show, it's like I'm looking like, okay, well, what else are you doing? You know, and what other shows are you going to?
Right, right.
And who are you working with? And it's important on how you're promoting mm-hmm. because you may not be the funniest person on stage, but your contribution
yes.
to the show
right.
should be, hey, you know, I'm new. You don't have to say that, but it's like, you know, but that's the whole thing. It's like, I'm new. Fuck it. It's like, I'm going to promote the show.
Mm-hmm. It's like a co-op experience.
Yeah.
That's how I look at comedy shows.
It's a team effort.
It is. It really is.
On Thursday, that's another reason why I've been able to stay that long is because I remember when I first started, this lady told this female comic that was producing shows and I think she's also, yeah, she's producing shows. She said, word of advice, do not become friends with the comedians. And I was like, what? And she was like, just don't do it. And I was like, well, why not? And she just, I forgot what she said because that was years ago. But it just kind of, I think that some people may take it that way. And that's why when you guys deal with them, they come off as being assholes because they just see you guys as product.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so... But
yep.
for me, and I get what she was saying in the sense of, I mean, this is business. But as long as you know that and they know that. And it's like over the years, I haven't had that many to be able, like I said, you know, to get into the whole cussing out and mm-hmm. arguing. I mean, and it's usually the same ones. Mm-hmm. It's like, and they argue with other people too. Mm-hmm. So it's not just me, you know. So they're known assholes.
Yeah.
And so well-known assholes.
Yeah, the comedy community fucking talks.
Yeah.
It's small.
It is small, and yep. everybody knows everybody, mm-hmm. and the comedy mm-hmm. community fucking talks.
Yep. And so, yeah.
So that's, I mean, like other things I was saying, what have you sacrificed? With like,
oh.
Yeah,
oh.
Yeah. Away from home.
Yeah, moving.
Do you think your health has suffered in any way? How was, because that's a lot.
You're yeah, like a, well, like a, well, in regards
you've been
to,
in the business for a long yeah. time. You've seen a lot. That's like a cookie. You know what I'm saying? You've held your own yeah. brand, your own, you know what I'm saying, definitive brand, bringing up comedians, helping comedians.
I just realized
so
what cookie you were cookie, talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah. they do
well. I was like, cookie. Wait, what
Empire.
About
Empire?
I thought yes.
Hey, y'all ain't like this already understood. Y'all know that. You know who cookie is?
No, I know, but it took me a second to realize.
Like, y'all know who cookie is. Everybody knows. But no, you know what I'm saying? It's like, so did you, like, she went to jail. Like, what did you, like, your health, did you suffer?
Went to jail.
Cookie, no.
Oh, you went to jail?
Cook for the love of cookie.
I haven't been in jail ever. I have been arrested, but I haven't been in jail ever.
You haven't lived unless you've been arrested.
Yeah.
I sure have been arrested, honey. All for drinking and furs.
That should be on yeah. somebody's bucket list. That was on this old lady's bucket list. Did you guys see that? And they arrested her. She was like 95. She just wanted to get arrested. But
that's amazing.
Yeah,
was she white?
I definitely have made this sound.
She's white.
Was she white?
Yes. A black woman.
No black woman.
No.
She was too close. She was too close to being locked up every day.
She like her bucket list to lock one of them up.
Yeah.
You know, shit.
Oh my God. I feel like there are so many times where someone tells me a story and I'm just like,
you already
were
know.
Were they white?
You already know.
Okay, sorry, continue.
Yeah, I definitely have made some sacrifices because, is, you know, being in Michigan and even you, Atlanta, we're all the way out here. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And we know life would be a lot different if we were home.
Yes.
Okay? I mean, kids, houses, cars, husband.
Familiarity.
A yard.
Or divorce.
A pool.
Foundation.
A fucking yard. A house.
A lake, because I'm from Michigan. God. See? Like, right. I would definitely live on the lake.
Right.
You know? And my mom would be, like, up the street to help out all the time.
I know. My mother would move in.
Yeah, seriously.
Mom, I know you would move in.
My mom has talked about moving out here before.
They're coming.
Well, now I'm one of eight, so the pressure's off.
I did not know that.
Well, she's getting, she's not technically yet, but they're getting married July 31st, so, you know.
Okay. Oh, step.
Yeah.
Two step two. Mm-hmm, okay. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's going to be exciting. Oh.
So, okay, so well, you said
okay, the sacrifice.
Yeah.
Okay. So, in 2008, mm-hmm. I was diagnosed with non-cancerous, thank God, I thank God to this day, non-cancerous bilateral carotid body tumors. And they were located, like, on each side of my neck, and you couldn't see them.
Could you feel them?
If I could feel the one that was on this side, on the left. And it was like, if I tilted my head back and did like that, I could feel just a little knot, but not over here. And so the symptoms were basically, I was hearing a ringing in my ear, and I thought it was an ear infection, and it wasn't. And, you know, they flushed my ears. I didn't have health insurance at that time, because I was like a freelancer. I was working on a talk show, and...
You know, and no one over 26 had health insurance at that time. Hmm. Unless you were, no one over 26 had health insurance at that time unless you were rich.
I know. It was like, what the fuck? So it was like, I think I was 34.
Or you worked at Starbucks.
Hilarious. They had Starbucks in? Oh, yeah, they did. Yeah. Duh, yeah. Okay, so
that means something else, too, because I've been hearing ringing sometimes. I'm like, what does that mean?
Oh, you know what?
Well, everything's connected.
Everything is connected. And so it was crazy because, like I said, I didn't know what it was. And I'm thinking, you know, that I'm invincible.
Right.
You're young.
Right.
You're like, nothing could be like, what is this? And I would go. They'd flush my ear. It'd be fine for a little while. And I would go to the free clinic, the one over in Beverly Hills, and have them look at it. And then I noticed the last time I went to them, they were like in the hallway looking like really weird talking with this older doctor, and they just looked like they were having a meeting in the hallway. And from experience, you never want to have doctors in the hallway.
No.
In the hallway having a meeting about you.
No.
And you're in the doctor's room. And so then they came in, and the guy was just like, oh, you know, we don't know what it is, and you should just flush your ear again and come back. And so it started just getting worse because I wasn't sleeping well. And so then
and that just makes you sicker in general.
Yeah. And so I just felt like I was floating, you know, I didn't feel like I was on this earth. It was weird when you're diagnosed with something, you know, I mean, for me, it was just like you feel alienated and you do feel jealous of people that are just walking around here because you're like, damn, like you're fine. Like, of course, you don't know what's going on with somebody, but you like you know that something's wrong with you. So it was like.
Right.
Anyway, it's just weird and shit. And so I just, after I finished the gig, because I was thinking, oh, you know, I'll save up some money from this and have surgery. I was thinking, oh, it's just a little ear infection. So ended up going to an ENT doctor, and that's when she was like, you know, what's going on? I told her, and she said, okay, let's check you out. She's like, stick your tongue out. And I was like, ah. And she's like, oh, my God. And I was like, and she could see the fear on my face. She said, don't worry. She said, do you know you have a mass growing? And I was like, huh? And she's like, don't panic. She said, these are usually non-cancerous, but you have to go and get x-ray right now. So she sent me across the street, got x-rayed, and that's when they told me that I had the tumors. And I was just like.
That's why you got to be happy every day. You got Jesus. Your health. Shut
yeah,
up. Sit
seriously.
Down. Be grateful. Be humble. Yeah. Humble yourself.
Like, I was just
please
like.
Please quote Kendrick Lamar. Yeah. Please quote Kendrick Lamar every episode.
Yes. serious, man.
Yeah. And so, you know, they tell you this news, and you're just like, well, the first thing they did when I got over there was, you know, the doctor told me, go over there and, you know, go to the emergency room, and they're going to take you right away. And I was like, oh, she said, and I'm coming over after my shift. And I was like, you know, you don't know what the fuck is going on at that point. And right. So I go over there, and they're just like, they take me in right away, and then they, you know, a nurse and a doctor, they explain to me why they have me in there, and I'm like, oh, God. And then they're like, you know, do you want some Ativan? And I was like, the fuck is Ativan? You know?
Is it anxiety meds?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I didn't know, and so I looked at the nurse, and she was like, yeah, and I was like, yeah. And so they just, like, you know, they give it to you, so it's something to relax you.
That's nice.
And then they left me on the table, and I almost fell off. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, because you were so fucked up.
Yeah, they were like, we'll be right back. And then I'm like,
wrong for that. They wrong for that.
They were wrong for that. But they, you know, they laid me down. They did the x-rays and all that. And, you know, then they, that's when they came back and told me what they saw and called my parents. And I freaked out everybody because I'm high on Ativan.
Right.
You know,
right.
And I'm just like, they had my pastor call me. And he sounded like,
God, that's amazing.
Jesus, I thought it was the voice of God. I was like,
how fast did they do surgery on you?
Oh, my God. I had a surgery. So after that, I ended up going back home to Cleveland a week later because it was serious.
Yeah.
And so because they said that the tumor was budding at the base of my brain. So they didn't know if it was like in my brain, but it wasn't. It didn't. Right. Thank God. By the time when they opened me, it wasn't. So that was Memorial Day weekend, and I was home like a week later, and then I had the surgery August 28th, the night of the Democratic National Convention. I'll never forget that, because I woke up the next morning scaring the shit out of everybody after the surgery took 16 and a half hours.
Oh my God.
And so the swishing that I was hearing in my ear was the tumor vibrating up against my eardrum.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So when you talked, it was,
yeah. And so it just was, but it was constantly, it was like, this was the tumor. This was my eardrum, and this was the tumor. And so it was like that.
Yeah.
So it was just, you know, it was crazy. But it was 16 and a half hour surgery, and, you know, I'm still here. So, yeah, so I made that sacrifice, you know, to get myself together and come back out here. To fuck with comedy,
because you came back.
Do you have do you have other, like, does the show run without you if you're out of town?
Yes.
Still? That's great.
Yeah, it definitely.
But you're
can
still
do that.
You know. Yeah,
yeah, because when I was home, I had I did have to leave LA for about 14 months.
Mm-hmm.
And so Uncle Levi, who is our room manager, and then at that time it was a host, Esau McGraw, they kept it going for me. And the Comedy Store was, you know, very understanding and supportive. And they even did a benefit show for me. Not the Comedy Store, but my...
that's good.
The show they
that's
did
amazing.
Downstairs. Mm-hmm. And that was... It was really nice. So the support was there. So, and... So really with, like I said, with the whole comedy thing, it's like that... I mean, the whole surgery... It's like I didn't have to come back because, you know, people were like, oh, my God, are you sure you want to go back? And
yeah.
It's like I have shit to do.
Yeah, are you kidding?
You know? And
like,
so.
Do you think I can do anything else with my life besides
right.
this?
No.
No.
Right.
This is it.
That's what it's like. When you were homeless, why didn't you just go home? I'm like, for what? Shit,
right.
I came out here for a reason.
Right. Right. You have to just keep going.
Everything ain't going to go the way you planned it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Oh, well,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's what there's an 18-year-old girl moving out here from my hometown, and so I'm gonna, like, you know, help her out and stuff and give, and so she called me for advice, and I told her I was like look, because she wants to be an actor, and I was like, look, like, there's gonna be times when you're gonna want to move home and you're gonna want to give up, and like that's gonna tell you the truth about whether or not you're supposed to be doing this as your career, because if you stay then you're supposed to be here, and like
you
longevity is
on the strong survive. You might get knocked down, something like, you know. But dang, that's you gonna go home.
And I was like, if you feel like moving home, just call me first, and we'll hang out, and then we'll see how you feel after that.
Yeah, that's good advice, because everyone is going to go through something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Again, you haven't lived. If you haven't gone through shit, it's coming.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm glad. I'm like, I'm glad we got that shit over with. You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, just still dealing with, you know, some of the stuff because it left me with, you know, facial paralysis on the left side that has my doctor, my surgeon, who I still see because I have to, you know, get an MRI every year. You know, he told me that it's gonna take time, but your nerves will regenerate.
That's amazing. That's so
cool. And it's like,
because
I look like a stroke patient. I mean, it was crazy, and I'm deaf in my left ear because the tumor was, they had to just obliterate the ear canal and get in the eardrum and all of that. Mm-hmm. So, and it's your other ear overcompensates.
My brother is, his left ear is, his left ear is also blown out because we were in a car accident when we were kids.
Okay.
And, or I think it's actually his right ear because he was looking back at me, so it must be his right ear. He was looking back at me in the car when it happened, and
okay,
the airbag, like,
exploded
right on his ear.
A lot of people can only hear in one ear.
Yeah.
And there's a comedian, every time I talk to him, we look like we're dancing because he can't hear in one of his ears.
Oh, my God, that's amazing.
And it's like, you know, we're like, what? Huh? What do you say?
That's so funny.
And then, you know, I can't, it affected my vocal cords because, you know, it was, the surgery was on my neck area.
Right.
So.
And any surgery in your throat or neck, or it automatically affects
any surgery from the neck up,
yeah,
you know, from the shoulders up, you're dealing with your brain, you know, you're dealing with, so it was like, you know, cognitive memory.
So you came back though, man, you came, not just came back to LA, but you came back from that.
Yeah.
Come back from that kind of surgery, and a lot of anything can go wrong.
It's amazing what you, like, a lot of times you think, oh my God, if this shit happened to me, I wouldn't be able to handle it.
Exactly.
It's amazing.
But you fucking figure it out.
Yeah, you figure it out. And if you believe in God, it's like, you know, then it's just amazing that God would, like, just pull your ass through this shit. Mm-hmm. Because you always want to give up.
Yeah.
Who doesn't? You know, I wake up some mornings like, fuck this shit.
That's, like, part of life. Like, you're supposed to feel that way. Because
that's
if you
what
don't,
keeps you
then,
going.
Yeah,
you're
if
not
you
doing
don't,
nothing.
You're not doing what you're supposed
you're not,
to be doing.
You ain't working, you ain't challenging
if you're not
yourself.
Scared.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're not doing
hard,
what you're supposed to
you
be
ain't
doing.
Figuring nothing out. Yeah.
And then you don't, it doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, somebody might hate me for this, but, you know, I'm from Cleveland, okay? So, the Warriors won, okay?
Uh-oh.
I know, here we go. Fuck this shit. Chaos for life! So, but, you know, when we won last year, it was like, it was a different vibe. No, but it was just a different thing. Like, with the way that the Warriors won this year, it just was kind of like, okay. You know, because, I mean, they stacked the team. Okay, all right, I'm done.
No, you can talk about basketball.
No, you know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's so good.
I mean, they
we
stacked
love
the
it.
Team, you know, like, so tough with shooters.
Mm-hmm.
It's boring. You know, with us, I mean, LeBron and they were dunking all over the place and doing all these alley-oops and shit last year. Remember, it was epic. It was like a fucking movie.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's ask you, what does feminism mean to you?
Hmm?
What does feminism mean to you?
Feminism, what it means to me is standing up for women and just being supportive of other women and the women's movement. Right now, I am so sick of these men. For them and their misogynistic fucking ways and attitudes. And I just had a conversation with someone earlier, and we were just talking about how, like, she's a comedian and she's frustrated because she sees it. And I know that, you know, as female comedians, you guys see that too.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
It's like, for me as a producer and what I do, it's like, I see it, you know, so... But yeah, that's what it is to me. It's like really just being supportive of other women and being aware of, like, you know, our needs.
Yeah.
And yeah, just yeah.
I love that. That's great. Okay, tell us the details of Crack 'Em Up Comedy. How do we come see the show?
Yeah.
Okay, well, Crack 'Em Up Comedy is every Thursday at the Comedy Store on Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood, and it's 10 p.m. And you can Go to crackemupcomedy.com. Actually, our website is under construction right now. But
is there a Facebook?
Yeah, you can go on Facebook. You can just look up Crack 'em Up Comedy. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, Crack and M-E-M up comedy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you do go to our website, crackemupcomedy.com, the homepage will direct you to all of our social media links and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's also our hashtag.
Cool.
Yeah, so we're there every Thursday, and it's $10. And if you're nice, you can somehow get in touch with me, and I'll put you on my list for $5. Mm. So.
Yeah.
Or a comedian. A comedian that's before me, they often have a list if you come out and support them. And then, you know, I do, you know, other shows that I do. Right now we're just kind of like in a reshifting because, like I said, just trying to keep it fresh and stuff.
Right.
Some of the shows we've done in the past is the Can of Comedy Show, which featured stand-up comedians and performance clowns. And so it was like
so
really
cool.
It was hosted by Galit Levy. And, you know, she's a professional clown. Like, she's serious. Like, she is
That's
trained.
So cool.
She's amazing. And so they host it.
We just met a professional clown at that show we did. That yeah, be. We should connect Bonnie with.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. We need to start. Doing another one, but we did that show downtown at the Clown House. And
that's
it was,
so cool.
It was really cool. So cool. They hosted, and Jamar Neighbors, you know, from Roast Battle, he was, and Jasmine Lee.
Yep.
They were, you know, clowns that worked with her, and then there were some other clowns from the community that she's worked with and that performs with.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would host it, and it was wild as hell. Because
that's so cool.
Because, you know, from what I hear, it's like clowns are not friends with stand-up comedians. It's like you guys kind of hate each other.
And we were doing clowns and comedy.
Yeah, and so that was the funny thing about it, because like Tony Baker was like, he didn't want to do it because he was scared of clowns.
That's so funny.
So, but yeah, that and, you know, another show, Wine Glass Comedy that I do, which we shot it in my apartment in Hollywood.
Oh, that's awesome.
And we celebrated comedy and wine.
That's amazing.
And
we just did your taping too.
Yeah, we did a pilot in October, and so we're cutting down clips. Crack 'em Up Comedy.
Oh, yeah, Crack 'em Up Comedy
presents.
Yeah.
Present.
Oh,
and
cool.
Yeah, Crack 'em Up Comedy presents.
Cool,
so
cool.
We had Nika Williams. We just released hers, and then just short clips that we release on Crack 'em Up Comedy TV, on Facebook, and also
tight.
On YouTube.
Yeah, it's tight.
So, and then Paul Elia, we had him, and then actually, that was my co-producer on that, and we did it at the Lyric Hyperion Theater.
I love that theater.
Yeah, gotta love
That's
it.
A great theater.
It really is. Yeah. It was a
it's
really
nice.
It's
space.
A really warm space.
It was really nice.
And
yeah.
It's great
for
art.
It's good for comedy, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's really nice.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. That's so cool. Okay, well, I'll include all those links on the in the
And so, yeah, so we're thing. Just you know, getting ready to, you know, the show that we were doing in Detroit, we're switching that around because we did 5 years. My sister celebrated a 5-year anniversary. That was monthly on Crack 'em Up Wednesdays.
That's awesome.
And that was downtown at across from Tiger Stadium.
Cool.
And
I love downtown.
Yeah. And it was.
I'm writing a pilot that takes place in downtown Detroit.
Oh, my God. It was at the Jazz Cafe at the Music Hall.
That's so cool.
And so we did that for 5 years. And then, you know, you got to know when it's time to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we'll probably do Crack Up for a Cause, which is partnering with the nonprofits.
I love that name.
And that'll give my sister more, you know, just something different to do.
Yeah.
And so so we can do those there.
Can you let me know when you do that?
Definitely.
Okay, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Too. I love charity shows.
Yeah.
I'm good at them. I love it.
And then even here, because we were doing an annual sickle cell show
That's
in
awesome.
September. So raising awareness for that, because I lost my cousin about 3 years ago.
I'm sorry.
And then, thank you. And then one of the comedians, he, 6 Footer Slim, he has sickle cell. And so he, and unfortunately just lost his sister about a year ago.
Mm.
But she did have a chance to come to one of our shows. And
that's amazing.
Lot. Yeah.
That's
and
so
I'll never
cool.
forget Levi, Uncle Levi, like escorting her to her, you know, to her seat because she was having a hard time walking.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but we need to start that up again.
Pill.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. All right. Well, we should wrap it up. Thank you so much for being on our podcast, Michelle. You were so great.
Yes.
so inspiring.
Glad you finally made it. Yeah.
I have to admit that I this summer we're like kind of going away from our structure. We usually do like 4 episode or like 5 episode structure where like we have 3 episodes where we interview an individual person and then the last episode is a group discussion. Mm-hmm. But this summer we're both just so busy that we're just doing
like
individual episodes.
Yeah.
And I also like I'm like selfish because I wanted to get people who run shows on because I think that's really interesting. And also I'm learning so much.
Yes. Oh yeah.
And I love it.
Yeah,
for sure. So we will definitely have you on.
Yeah.
I would love to interview you too for the live show sometime.
Yeah. For the live show. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We'll figure it out. Okay. Okay guys. Thank you so much for listening. As always.
Yeah. Stay tuned.
Yeah. Stay tuned. Check out our Facebook.
This show is looking at me trying to act all nice. Stay tuned. Come back again.
Yeah. Check out our Facebook.
Always, yeah.
It's our Instagram and our Twitter.
Yeah. On actlikeagirl.tv.
Well, there's no dot on the socials. It's just
actlikeagirl.tv. No, I'm saying for the link, right?
Yes.
To see the episodes. Yeah. To hear the episodes. Yeah.
Actlikeagirl.tv is our website. There's a page, the Get Involved page, that you can reach out to us on.
Please get involved.
Yeah.
We want to be involved with you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and, hold on, let me look this up.
Please involve yourself in our
lives. We are asking for it.
We got space for friendships.
We got space for friendships. Okay, so we're going to do something cool now that was sort of Tracy's idea, and I figured out, I think, how to make it happen. So we want you guys to call in and leave us a voicemail for a question for us to ask our guests. So I set up a Google Voice number. Because then I don't have, it's a separate number and I can block y'all if y'all are weirdos, so don't be weirdos.
Yeah. I'll
block you immediately. But the number is 424-645-1905. Call in, ask us a question.
Yes.
If you call in, we'll probably add your recording to the episode.
Yes.
If you text in, we won't do that. So, and you can, give us your name, no last name if you don't want to, or give us your info, your socials, whatever you want to do. We want to hear from you.
Yeah. We want you involved.
Yeah. So thank you guys.
See you guys next time.
It's been Susie Dunn.
And Tracy Walker.
And we were here with
Nichelle Murdoch.
Bye guys.
Bye.